Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Holiday season's upon us, gentlemen. What does that mean? Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, just a little north of the stadium. It's not Northdale Mabry. It's right there in Tampa. And easy access, whether you're coming down from Carrollwood, if you come across the Courtney Campbell, it's right there when you get on the Tampa side, coming up from South Tampa. Tremendous showroom, great values, and one of the greatest Buck fans you're ever going to see in Sean Sullivan. The time is now. You're not going to get a better deal. And next year, who knows what the prices are going to be. Right now, you got to take advantage. Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford. Get your holiday deals done.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Fourth year of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and the third year our presenting sponsor in season has been Hooters. Let me confirm now that we are officially doing a regular season finale, fantasy football finale, watch party at the Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, where we had the big draft event the last 3 years. All owners in all podcast leagues have been invited. They've been invited to bring guests. If you are not in one of my podcast leagues, but you are in the Tampa Bay area, maybe you played in a previous league in a previous year via the podcast. Maybe you want to play in a podcast league next year, where we're actually going to do multiple dates to make it more accessible for people to play in the podcast leagues. The point I'm trying to make about this is not only are we doing the regular season finale watch party for the first half, not going to mandate people stick around after halftime of a Monday night game, knowing we all have things to do on Tuesday morning. But for Monday night, December 2nd, and we have a good game to watch and with some fantasy impact that night. Vikings, Seahawks. And if you would like to come out to our regular season fantasy finale watch event at the Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, you are welcome to do so. We will be there from roughly 7:45 p.m. until halftime of that game. And when you come in, just at the door say, "Hey, I'm here for the Todd Wright watch party," and they will point you in the right direction. I'm not even going to take RSVPs. I'm doing that for my current podcast owners. But this is an open invite to any of you in the Tampa Bay area who want to join us that night at Hooters. You're on your own for food and drink. I'm not giving you anything. I'm just inviting you to come out. Introduce yourself. Tell me about your fantasy team this year. And if you have interest in playing in the podcast leagues next year, it would be nice to put a name with a face and know that you're interested. So again, our regular season fantasy football finale watch party will be Monday, December 2nd. At the Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, just west of Dale Mabry, just north of Steinbrenner Field and Raymond James Stadium. We'll be there starting around 7:45 because the game kicks off, what, roughly 8:15, 8:20 p.m., and we'll stay through the first half. And again, no RSVP necessary. If you have any questions, you can email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I've invited all my owners of all my leagues, not only the podcast leagues, but my personal league, the Foundation. They'll all be represented, and we're all going to watch this final game of the fantasy regular season, see how it impacts our teams, either making the playoffs, missing the playoffs, earning a first-round bye, setting playoff matchups, etc. Again, if you have any questions about it, just email toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. All right, let me do a quick, also, that email address is there for you as I record this on Friday night. If you have questions, look, I know week 12 is critical. We're talking about the regular season watch party finale next week. This is it. Some of you might have must-win games this week. If you don't win this week, you are eliminated from playoff contention. Others, perhaps with a win this week, you clinch a playoff spot or you clinch a first-round bye, which makes these late Week 12 byes for Kansas City, L.A., the Chargers, Minnesota, and even a touch of Arizona rather annoying. Here is the all-star team we could put together for just this week in DFS for the guys on bye. Quarterback, Mahomes or Murray. Running back, Dalvin Cook, right there as either fantasy running back 2 or 2A, depending on how you perceive Nick Chubb, who's had over 200 carries this year. And then the combination of Gordon and Eckler with the Chargers. Eckler is still startable. At wide receiver, the healthy guys you could start this week are Keenan Allen, who came on for a productive game in Mexico City, and Stephon Diggs. Then the bad hamstring guys, let's just say they weren't injured, the bad hamstring guys that are sitting out this week to get healthy on the bye week, Tyreek Hill and Adam Thielen. And even tight ends, Travis Kelce. Hunter Henry has had target volume. Kyle Rudolph has been finding the end zone recently with Kirk Cousins. That's the all-star team that is missing this critical Week 12, the penultimate week in the fantasy regular season. So for the first time all year, I used to do this a lot, and instead I've just had various other things that I've done in this fantasy podcast, but for the first time all year, I'm going to go game by game. All the Sunday afternoon games, there are only two late Sunday games. Jacksonville, Tennessee, appropriately buried, where only people in Jacksonville and Tennessee will be watching because it's against the Cowboys and the Patriots at that time. Then the Sunday night game flexed in was Packers and Niners. Flexed out, interestingly enough, Seattle, Philadelphia. Seattle thought they would have a late start in Philly. Now, they've known a couple of weeks, but it's odd for a West Coast team to get a 1 o'clock Eastern time start for a road game. Two get it this week. Seattle gets it, and Oakland get it. We'll talk about that. And then the Monday night game is Baltimore and L.A. And there are some tricky things with some otherwise surefire starters that have you at least thinking twice about whether or not you can get enough out of them to win this week in the Dallas-New England game and the Baltimore-LA Ram game. But let's start with all the 1 o'clock games. No particular order here. Denver and Buffalo. A couple of Buffalo guys went off for explosive numbers last week. First time either all year or in a long time for Josh Allen, whose quarterback numbers have been consistent, and John Brown. It's a little less likely against the Denver defense. Meanwhile, Lindsay had a huge volume most recently, where he's been all year. We've heard about Royce Freeman, Royce Freeman, Royce Freeman. In the end, Lindsay has gotten the bulk of the work. It is trending towards even more of that now, despite the fact Lindsay has popped up on the injury report, I guess, the last couple of weeks with either a wrist or an ankle or both. And Cortland Sutton, with the Emmanuel Sanders trade to San Francisco, and despite the Broncos having no discernible quarterback, Cortland Sutton has excelled. He has a floor each week. He makes spectacular grabs. Some call him a poor man's Mike Evans. I call him maybe a younger version of Allen Robinson. You know, Robinson for a while there was doing fine with an inaccurate quarterback in Chicago, and now not so much. Sutton is producing. So depending on how you look at it, I mean, Sutton is considered in a year devoid of wide receiver twos, Sutton is a firm wide receiver two, and Lindsay is, he's okay as a running back two, more of a running back three, running back two slash three flex play. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, Bengals still winless, but the last couple weeks, if you've hung in there with Joe Mixon, it's paid off. In standard leagues, the last couple of weeks, he's RB6. In PPR, he's a top 10 running back. No reason to not play him again this week. Steelers defense is good. That said, what else are the Bengals going to do? They are feeding Joe Mixon, especially with a rookie in Finley out of NC State under center. From the Pittsburgh standpoint, sounds like James Conner's not going to go. That just creates a domino effect of guessing as it relates to the Steeler running backs. You're on your own there. And you know what? You're on your own at wide receiver, too, at wide receiver as well, based on the carnage from a week ago that knocked the top couple of Steeler wide receivers out of the game. For a full breakdown on Tampa Bay Atlanta, please find the Bucks Bulletin podcast. It's the last 2 years, it's been a spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast. It's called the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin. And every week, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group, I do a full fantasy breakdown of the game, the Bucks and their opponent every week. Find that if you're looking for information on Bucks and Falcons. That podcast posted a day ago. Seattle, in one of those West Coast teams starting at 1 o'clock Eastern against the Eagles. Don't you hate the pop-ups? Leave me alone. We're doing fantasy football previews here. Seattle at Philadelphia. It looks like Lockett's going to go. And I wouldn't be concerned about the injury. This isn't a hamstring thing where you worry, is Lockett going to play one play and then that's it, or a David Johnson thing from the Cardinals earlier this year. If he's active, he's going to play, and Russell Wilson is going to use him. Every game is a critical game for Seattle in their pursuit of the NFC West title, and potentially even playing for a first-round bye. Especially against the Eagles' pass defense, which is not good. From the Eagles' standpoint, it feels like Jay Ajayi is going to make his debut this week. And some are even saying it'll be significant. Yes, I picked up Ajayi. I actually picked him up weeks ago, just feeling someone was going to put him on a roster. It feels like he's going to get a chance to play. If you are really desperate and you have to get 10-plus points out of a running back this week and you didn't take advantage of the Jonathan Williams waiver claim and play Thursday night against the Texans, Ajayi gives you a chance at that. Where, say, Dalvin Cook is sitting out for you, or you own Melvin Gordon or Eckler and there are no other running backs available, I would say this. I'd much rather play Jay Ajayi this week than a Steeler running back and take my chances guessing with Edmonds or Samuels or Snell or any of that, even though it's against the Bengals. Detroit at Washington. The Jets passing game just scorched the Redskins. I see no reason why the Lions won't do it. Jeff Driscoll, like many backup quarterbacks this year in the NFL, is showing he's more than capable of playing in the league. Perhaps this thought, the last handful of years that's been out there in the NFL, we don't have 32 worthy starting quarterbacks. It might not be true. Backup quarterbacks starting games this year are over 500 in the NFL. And Driscoll also is putting up some nice fantasy numbers because he's using his legs. So Driscoll could be a play, although Kenny Galladay's numbers have suffered since Stafford went out. Marvin Jones' numbers have not. Other West Coast team playing a 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff is Oakland at the Jets. You know, it used to be the Cowboys that if you had a fantasy player in a game against the Cowboys, you just had to understand that that player would get less chances to make an impact because the Cowboys played keep away. Guess who's now the best at playing keep away in the NFL? Oakland. That's how much John Gruden uses the running game and a controlled passing game just to keep the clock winding. So that impacts, look, you're playing Le'Veon Bell this week, but as you've tempered your expectations all year, I would in this game as well. And flat out, Oakland's the better team. Jacobs is an RB1 play. He's been fighting through some injuries. He seems to play through them as aggressively as Amari Cooper does in Dallas. Rare tight end note for me, Darren Waller was featured last week in the game against Cincinnati. He didn't get in the end zone, but he got some end zone targets. He put up a decent floor. Tight ends in this game could be, if you're desperate for a tight end, a plug-and-play option or a DFS option. I mean, Waller is considered a top-five tight end play every week just because of his pure ability, and that the Raiders, without Antonio Brown and the regression of Tyrell Williams, they don't really have much else to throw to. Giants at Bears. Oh, it's a horrible game. I agree. Saquon Barkley coming off a needed bye week. His yards per carry were non-Barkley since coming back from the ankle injury. Sure, it's the Bears, but their run defense hasn't been the same the last month plus, and the Bears give up, I believe, the second most receptions to running backs in the NFL. So Barkley is the play here. Golden Tate has had a good season since he missed that first month for the suspension, and seems to connect well with Daniel Jones. The Bears do prevent difficulties in the passing game. He is a rookie quarterback. Barkley's the better play, but if you really need to play Golden Tate this week, I'd much rather play, say, Golden Tate than Allen Robinson this week. Miami at Cleveland. Cleveland, Jarvis Landry has been fantasy relevant in recent weeks. OBJ's targets are up. Nick Chubb has had no drop-off with Kareem Hunt coming off suspension. Hunt is worth a flex play. Or if you're desperate for an RB2 or an RB3, because he's going to get catches out of the backfield. And Miami doesn't present much of an opponent. On the Miami side, and I mentioned this, I believe, earlier this week in a fantasy football podcast, I've said since he came into the league, Devontae Parker wasn't worth talking about on this podcast. In recent weeks, he is. That's because Miami has nothing. Parker has produced. As long as Fitzmagic is quarterbacking, Parker should provide something for Miami in the game against Cleveland, although he does draw Denzel Ward. Carolina, New Orleans, you know who's number one in targets over the last 3 weeks? DJ Moore. We said last week he could be that week's Christian Kirk. He did not get into the end zone, but the targets are still there. You can say what you want about Allen not being a good quarterback in Carolina, not being the future of the Carolina Panthers. He targets Moore a lot, Moore catches them more often than not. Sure, Carolina's offense is McCaffrey, McCaffrey, McCaffrey. Everybody else is a third or fourth option, but Moore number one in targets in recent weeks. For the Saints, it's the same refrain. It's if you have Breeze, you're playing him. If you have Kamara, you're playing him and just hoping Kamara starts getting you rushing touchdowns. And if you have Michael Thomas, good for you. I wish I did this year. Had him last year. The two late afternoon games, Jacksonville and Tennessee. Both teams seem committed to running the ball in this game. Maybe they just want to get it over with so they can watch the end of the Patriots-Cowboys game. Jacksonville got caught in inverse game flow last week, and even though Nick Foles and DJ Chark have a great thing going, the Jags feel the way they can win a game, and they're still fighting in the AFC South. They're still in the running in the AFC South for respectability and potentially for a playoff spot. I don't think they'll get there, but I think Fournette and Henry both have solid volume in this game. Henry has had it pretty much all year. Jags, Fournette has had it most of the year. They've gotten away from it a little bit recently. In Cowboys, New England, New England's defense against the Cowboy offense. New England's pass defense stands out more than their run defense. That's also a reason why the Ravens beat the Patriots. So I'd play Ezekiel Elliott. Stepping back big picture and looking at all your Cowboys, if you're going to have cause for pause, does that make any sense? If you have a reason to think twice about playing one of the Cowboy stars, I think it's either Amari Cooper, because you don't know how healthy he is and he's going to draw Stephon Gilmore, or it is Dak Prescott. And Prescott has been a top five fantasy quarterback all year. You know he's going to want to put on a good show, but I'll just tell you something I did today. I own Prescott just to give me time to think about it. I picked up Jeff Driskel, and he's sitting on my bench. And come Sunday morning, I'm going to make a decision on whether or not, for fantasy purposes, I'm going to let Dak sit out in the toughest matchup in the week and play Jeff Driskel in one of the easiest matchups of the week. And part of that would be, how healthy is Cooper? And Cooper is facing one of the top three cover men in the NFL in Stephon Gilmore. From New England's standpoint, they don't have much. Brady's averaging one touchdown passing a game. They seem to be down to one healthy receiver whose name you know in Edelman. Michelle has disappeared again. I would think they would use James White and Rex Burkhead in this game. But in terms of them being worthy of a fantasy start, I just don't know. I don't know. Green Bay and San Francisco. San Francisco still is a mess on the injury report, which is good for Tevin Coleman. Really good for Tevin Coleman. For Green Bay, Devontae Adams, not on the injury report as I speak to you on this Friday night. So again, much like the Saints were, you play Kamara, you play Thomas, you play Breeze for the Packers, even though it is against the Niners, you play Rodgers, you play Jones, you play Adams, and even a Jamal Williams isn't awful if you need to plug in somebody to play for Dalvin Cook this week or Gordon or Eckler. And the Monday night game is Ravens against the Rams. The two guys I would wonder about playing in this game are Mark Ingram and Cooper Kupp. Those are the guys. I just Kupp the last 2 weeks, other than catching one 50-yard ball that was originally ruled a touchdown and then ruled he was down on the one. It just shows how bad Jared Goff has been. And from Mark Ingram's standpoint, the Rams might not be able to slow Lamar Jackson because there's so much Jackson can do, but they might be able to take Mark Ingram out of the game. And Mark Ingram, as much as any of the top 10 running backs in fantasy this year, he is the most touchdown dependent. So I'll leave it to you when it comes to Mark Ingram. If you have another option, similar and in a better matchup, you might want to look at that and not just automatically go with Ingram on Monday night in a road game against the Rams. Again, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Please email me all your questions for the Sunday games before Sunday. I have a lot to do on Sunday with my own leagues and various other things. So email me Monday through Saturday, and I'll always respond. If you email me on Sunday, you will not get a response until Monday. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, our regular season fantasy finale watch party will be at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa. We'll get there about 7:45 p.m. on Monday night, December 2nd, for Vikings and Seahawks. Even if you are not in a podcast league, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you are welcome to come out, introduce yourself to me. We'll talk some fantasy football with you, watch the game with us. You're on your own for food and beverage. and perhaps talk to me about your interest in playing in a podcast league in 2020. That again, Monday night, December 2nd at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, 7:45 until the end of the first half of Vikings Seahawks. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.